Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the Black Geeks.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. Think of how many weeks shows you slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you. Thinking of this, you keep repeating your myth. The rhymes from the microphone solo with. So you stick by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume.
My goodness gracious, gosh almighty, let me tell you folks, it is Sunday night. Yet again, it is time for another Black Geeks podcast. And I am your ever effervescent host, Big Baba Rob. It is such an honor and a pleasure to be with you here today. Because I'm going to tell you, yesterday I was somewhere else. And that somewhere else was a very, very special place because, man, we were hanging out. Black Geeks were hanging out up in Philadelphia at Amalgam Comics for the Blackfinity Gauntlet. Man, I'm going to tell you, I want to go back. I want to do it all over again. I mean, it was a lot of work, and I was worried about a lot of things, but, man, what an amazing event, amazing event. But I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not the only one here tonight. I got my geek brothers backing me up. They're here. They're here to talk about some amazing geeky stuff, give their perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you who we got on the line. We got that guy over there. No, that's not Destro, the man with your weaponry. That's another kind of weaponry. That's the potbelly samurai. What's going on, man?
What's good, man? Honestly, after the Blackfinity Gauntlet and hanging out with the Black Tribbles, and getting my official Black Tribble induction and certificate, I guess I have to go by my Black Tribble name tonight, the Musashi Tribble. So you can refer to me as Musashi this evening.
Whoa, he's Musashi today. Let's see. Okay, could you tell folks who don't know where Musashi comes from?
Miyamoto Musashi is a legendary swordsman in Japan, one of the greatest swordsmen in Japanese history.
Aha! Very nice. Well, I guess, if I wasn't hosting, I got to be Big Baba Rob. If I wasn't hosting, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be talking to Voltron Tribble. That's right, Voltron Tribble. Woo! You know, I love that joint. I was like, yeah. Well, let's go ahead. Whoever else online, we also have King Face is on with us. Yo, Face, what's going on, man? How you doing? King Face is on mute again.
There we go. Yo, you know what's crazy? I keep pressing it, and it just wants to ignore me. It's annoying. And I only do it when I do my intro and I say something sweet, but I don't feel like repeating it. So, yeah, I'm doing all right. We're doing good over here.
Cool, man. Cool,
I need my own triple name, but I'm not going to just blurt one out. I need to take time and deliberate.
Yeah, you got to deliberate, and then you got to hook
you,
up with
you
gotta
them. Go and
go
get inducted.
Yeah, you got to be inducted. Yeah, you got to say the oath. So, we'll have to post. I got video of that as well. I'll have to share that with you guys. And last but not least, yo, that's our Sith Lord over there hanging out in the corner at the command center. Yo, what's going on? Darth Lord, Darth Deconius, what's up?
What's up? Yeah, awesome. Let's do it.
Da-da-dun-dun-dun, boom. Mm-mm. Oh, no, you're not doing
you
that.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
You good?
I'm sorry. You just said let's do it, and I just kind of went there. Yo, all right, folks, so we're going to go ahead and get this thing started. Let me tell you what we're talking about tonight. We're going to give a breakdown of the Blackfinity Gauntlet. We're going to talk about our experience up at Amalgam Comics, a coffee house in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're going to we got to talk about The Walking Dead. We're going to talk about Walking Dead, where we are today. Dark Econius had some predictions about tonight, and we will find out. For those who haven't seen it, be careful. We might have to spoil it just a bit. I'll be up to Dark Econius and whoever else watched. But we definitely need to get caught up on The Walking Dead. We know that Daredevil previewed this week. Oh, really, I'm sorry, last week. this our past week, and we got to talk about
it. No,
it
was Friday. It was 3 days ago.
Yeah. So, well, last week. It's Sunday now, but so last week technically.
Still kind of the same week, though.
Yeah, it's really.
You don't start the week on Sunday. Start the week on Monday.
I start the week on Sunday. Well, okay. You know what?
We got a poll. We got a poll.
Oh, heavens. Do we have another poll? Whatever. Yeah, I guess. Okay, whatever.
And actually, just for correction, that joint started like Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I thought it was like Thursday.
It came out early. It was supposed to be Friday.
It came out early. It was supposed to be the 18th, but that joint actually was out on the 15th.
All right.
But I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Daredevil. We'll talk about whether or not season two is looking just as good as season one. And
yes, sir.
And last but not least, don't ruin the mystique. Don't ruin the mystique. And then last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, I'll make that announcement. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about this is Batman versus Superman week. We're everyone's excited about it. A lot of people talking about it. We got a movie to go see, and you know this is the second big installment of our comic book movie year. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Last week, real quick, before I get into the next segment, last week I promised my dear brother that I was going to do something for him. So I'm going to rewind for a second. And I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, the Potbelly Sound.
Come on now. What's his name? Notorious. He is.
That's right. He's a Potbelly Samurai. There's your music, brother. There it is. You good?
Yo, I feel great now. You know, representing Brooklyn all day, every day.
Yes, man. I promised you last week that I was gonna make sure I had your music ready. So there you go. I'm a man of my word. So I definitely wanted to throw that out there. So ladies and gentlemen,
most honorable.
I thank you. Thank you so much, Sensei. Thank you. Thank you. I try. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. As you guys know, anybody that's been listening to this show a long time, you know we got to step off on the right foot, man. We got to tell you guys the news of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Mama News!
Big Mama News! And all around the world.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing the news. Darky Connie's is doing the news. Ladies and gentlemen, Sith News. What? Geekonius, you don't want to do your news? Did you stop the news, Geekonius? Did you stop? Do you not?
I said I did nothing. Maybe there's something you're doing wrong.
All right, I'm gonna play your news because it's time for Sith News. Okay, you ready? Here we go.
What are you doing, Rob?
Geekonius, what are you doing? Are you doing something funny?
No, I'm not doing anything. I promise I'm not doing anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sith News. Evidently, I thoroughly confused Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Sith News, and I give you news director Darth Geekonius with the news of the week. Take it away, Darth Geekonius.
All right. So, of course, everyone's talking about Daredevil, but it looks like Jeremy Renner, who plays Hawkeye, saying, you know what? He'd be open to doing his own Hawkeye Netflix show, too. So people want to know, is that a good idea? Do we really want to see Hawkeye on Netflix? Do we care enough? Or is it really that he's foreshadowing and seeing that his time in the MCU on the big screen is coming to a close. Just wondering.
Don't want to see it. Don't want to see it.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Hulk. I wouldn't mind giving that a shot.
Nope.
Yeah. I do Hawkeye.
I mean, I would it's going to be better than Arrow.
Hawkeye. Yeah. I mean, it's because I think it's because Arrow came out that people might have reservations. Like, well, we already had Arrow, and Arrow was to me on its last leg, unless they do something differently. But I think you got that concept well, it's already been done, so we don't want to see it again. But I think Hawkeye is a little bit more interesting, and it could be done right. And I think if you do, they got the precedent for it. If they do Hawkeye, you would have to do a little bit. You have to do a little bit more, but I'd be open to do it. I'd be open to at least checking it out. If you could do Jessica Jones, you could do Hawkeye.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see like the Circus of Crime and like some other things go on. I'm down for it.
And it'll be gritty. And there'll be some chances to get in S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as the Avengers, actual cameos on other part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I wasn't feeling it until Potbelly and King Faye start talking about it. And I said, this really could be a good idea.
Still not feeling it.
In other news, there's a good Xbox One sale going on. So if you want an Xbox One, you've been waiting or thinking about it, Microsoft is now having its spring sale. And you can get you an Xbox One for $299. See what happens when you buy things for $499? They eventually become $399 and then go on sale to $299. Yay.
Well, call me when it gets to $199. When it gets to $199, I will buy one. But not until it gets to
$199. Well, by the time it gets to
$199,
the next one will be coming out.
Yeah, hold your breath. You're talking about 2020 or something like that. Maybe 2022. Speaking of Microsoft, two big things happened this week with Microsoft as well. It looks like they threw an olive branch out there and teased the idea of cross-platform gaming. They said they are going to make the Xbox Live platform open to be cross-platform with a PC, and they're leaving it open to other developers and console makers. To which point everyone knew they meant PlayStation. And Sony basically responded back saying, you know, if they hear something, they'll talk about it. So for gamers, this could be a big thing because now it won't be a matter of, you know, you can't play with your friends because they got another system. It'll just be people get the system they want and we all play together. So let's hope Sony and Microsoft work that out. And other Microsoft news, they also announced that, yes, starting this summer, Windows 10 apps will be available on the Xbox One, and they're making it no secret that the Xbox One is slowly but surely just turning into a living room PC because now Xbox One games are going to start being available on PC as well. So everything's going to be cross-platform. So for those who have been waiting for the return of Halo on the PC, there's a good chance you're going to see the next Halo on PC as well.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I had abandoned Halo a long time ago, and I was pretty salty about the fact that they basically just stopped making Halo for the PC. I will actually buy Halo and try it. I will actually play it again if it comes out, because my experience wasn't that great with the last, like, I played the last Halo that they offered for PC, and it was iffy for me. But I would
wasn't
go back
like
and
Halo
get it.
Halo 2 or something?
2, yeah. It was like Halo 2.
It's not even Halo 2. It's not even the same game now, trust me. It's not even exactly. Close.
That's why I was like, I'll try it. I will try it as a gamer and especially as a black geek, so I can talk about it. I will go back and try Halo. Not 2 or 3, but the most recent version. I will try it.
All righty then. And for comic book fans, Marvel Unlimited is now $5 a month. So if you want to read all the comics you can get that are published by Marvel, you can sign up for Marvel Unlimited for $5 a month and get your digital Marvel comic thing going. And little interest news, I know a lot of us are on social media, so that's why I'm mentioning it. You know, the viral Pawpaw thing is going on. It looks like Pawpaw, you know, is actually going to have a cookout and people from all over the internet are going to show up. For those who don't know what that is, you know, made social media rounds in the last week or so. there was a grandfather who invited his grandkids over for dinner, and he made all these hamburgers and stuff, and only one showed up, and the one grandchild took a picture of what her grandfather looked like and basically put her cousins on blast. And so the whole internet rallied around his grandfather, because some of us, you know, still wish we had a grandfather and couldn't believe these snotty-nosed, ungrateful jokers left their grandfather hanging like that. So Papa is now having a cookout for everybody who support him. And I don't know where he's at, but those hamburgers look pretty good that he made. So if he's pretty close, I might go grab me a burger, just saying.
You just be the only black dude there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, you know what? You know, as long as those ain't just whites only hamburgers, you know. Anyway.
I ain't gonna say it.
Yeah, 35 miles.
Black only burgers. Go 35 miles, get you another burger, boy.
How much money is it gonna take to make this white burger into it? Okay, I'm sorry. For those who don't know, life, go see it someday. A lot of people still upset. But, you know, Netflix, you know, we have another show coming out, and it's going to be called Iron Fist. And some people are upset that they did, in fact, cast a white guy. Shocking, isn't it?
I don't know what the surprise was. He white in the comic books. I don't understand that. So you mad because you want to force Marvel to do something else, and when they decided to stick the canon, which we're always arguing for, You're upset now. I don't really understand.
Well, some people are still complaining, calling it whitewashing, and, you know, Hollywood being Hollywood, and that when Iron Fist debuted in 1974.
Debuted.
I
don't really care.
Is it really just a show now? Are we doing, like, are we getting grades and stuff?
Yeah,
I mean,
we are
seriously
aspiring to a higher level of black intelligence. We just talked about this yesterday.
We might want to cut the show off right now. If I would just end the show right now. But anyway, you know, when Iron Fist first came out in 1974, people were saying, well, that was a different time. And in this modern day and age, why can't you make him Asian? So some people still upset about that.
I'm going to say what I always say to that. I mean, in one instance, if they did, you know, do certain things with certain characters, I think it depends. I just think it depends. I think if you just force feed it, I think it's corny. There's black characters out there. You just got to use them. Tell their story. It'd be one thing if they just refuse to tell the story, like how we were always wanting a Black Panther movie. I mean, we still are waiting. But, you know, stuff like that is annoying. And then just tell the story of the other characters. If they would have made them Asian, or more, use the actor that was a little bit more, where his Asian heritage is more pronounced, I wouldn't have been upset. But I'm not upset now neither, because, like Bob Belly said, they're sticking in canon. It's not like they just turned him white just because, or they just threw him in there and said, oh, well, we're just going to put this Asian guy in there, but he's not going to be really Iron Fist. He's just going to be like a goofy little nerd that's a hacker, you know, or something stupid like that. It's just sticking a cannon, so what you going to do? I mean, you can't – I mean, if you really want to get upset, I mean, pick your battles. I don't see this one being that one. I don't see this one being that deep.
Yeah. Go ahead and move forward with that. We'll save that for when the show comes out. And a little bit of tech news. If you still have an old Kindle sitting around, if you do not update your software – and you know who you are and who you might be if you have a Kindle in your pocket and don't update it. Because we know certain people and certain – I don't want to be misogynistic. But for those of us who have spouses and
listen,
technology –
listen, man, don't talk about my poor mama like that. You know my mama ain't updated that on Kindle. You know that.
Some people
you
don't like
you,
the
you know
software.
My mama.
I'm just saying. Some people don't update their software. And so they're going to be mighty upset come Tuesday because Amazon will disconnect all the old Kindles from the internet unless they do the update by Tuesday. So you've been warned. Those of you who don't like to update your stuff, anybody who got a Kindle Paperwhite from 2012 and earlier, You will be cut off.
Oh, so that's gonna apply to the Kindle Fire?
Cut off.
If it came on, if it came out after 2012, you're good.
Yeah, that's Amazon.
I'm assisting to upgrade my mom's just to be on the safe side.
Exactly. That's a good idea. Update your Kindles just in case.
That's gangster. That's Amazon just being gangster. Like, look, you updated.
That is fair.
Do some of the same
that
stuff.
Is
cut
fair.
You off.
In technology, that is 100% fair. You're talking about 3 years. If you have not updated your software in over 3 years, it's just too much. Come on now, people.
I gotta agree with you, though. I can't disagree.
Ew! No! I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I was on Twitter and I saw a picture of a black character from Walking Dead and a white character snuggling from Walking Dead. Oh! I don't want to see that.
You're not about to bring that up. I just squashed that beef this weekend.
Dude, I was just scrolling through Twitter because I'm doing the social media thing for the show, and they're snuggling. Oh, I don't want to see that.
Cool. You did more than that, but I squashed that beef, and I'm not going to bring it up. So moving right along.
Oh.
And more quick gaming news. It looks like Sony is coming out with another PlayStation that they're going to call the PlayStation 4.5. So that way it can have 4K gaming and also be highly compatible with their PlayStation VR when that comes out in the fall. And apparently Microsoft is also considering coming up with a minor update because some are upset that games like Alan Wake, which is coming out next month, is going to be in 720p. And this is supposed to be the next generation, and everyone's kind of like, you know, they kind of shortchanged us and just basically updated the PlayStation 3 and 360 just a little bit enough to make us spend more money. So, guess we're going to be spending more money again if you're into that type of thing. I'm personally retired. and music slash political.
You got so many games to finish right now. You don't ever need to buy another game system.
I think I'm not buying any more consoles.
You got at least 2 years worth of games to finish. Has that one game even come out of the plastic yet?
No. Call of Duty, Black Ops 3 is still in the shrink wrap.
Yeah. You should not even look at anything else. You can't buy anything else because you can't even finish
it. It's been over 5 months now. And I'm thinking I should just put it in storage at this point. Maybe it'll be worth something in like 20 years.
Maybe you should give it away.
Hey, anybody listen to this show want a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 3? Brand new, still in shrink wrap for the Xbox One? Why don't you tweet us or something and maybe it's yours? Maybe I'll just go ahead and send it out so somebody can put it to some good use. So there you go. If you heard it, if you're listening to the show, you just got like a giveaway that was just completely unplanned. So I'm offering it if you respond. And I kind of like you. Who knows? All right. some kind of political music news. So y'all know Foxy Brown, right? Remember Foxy Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's the Il Nana.
Yeah, Il Nana and all that, yeah. So it came out earlier in the week that she was endorsing Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, social media lost their minds. Voted her off the island, sent her with Stacey Dash and Raymond Moon and everything. Well, it looks like she couldn't take it. And she wrote back that no way is she endorsing Trump. You know, so if any, she liked Hillary Clinton, but she dearly loves Bernie Sanders. So, actually, she dearly loves Hillary Clinton and adores Bernie Sanders. So, if anyone cares about what the 37-year-old rapper, she's only 37, is into, there you go. 37, huh?
Ooh, my older brother and Foxy Brown went to high school together.
Yeah, she went to Western House in Brooklyn.
But it's another
brother.
I didn't know that. Yo, we have to talk. Well, I didn't know that about you. Dang. Okay, I'm sorry. Please continue. Yeah. And last but not least, but definitely last of SIF news. If you have not heard, Todd McFarlane said that this is actually going down. We are definitely getting a Spawn movie. And it's definitely going to be R-rated. He even teased out the script, and it's currently 132 pages. So, there you go.
I'm excited.
The creator
of Spawn. I got a little
fanboy
wood going on right now. What about you guys?
Oh,
I am all about that. I am all about Spawn doing done right.
The creator of Spawn has wrote the Spawn script.
That
wow.
first
I think that's
Spawn
all that
movie,
matters.
That first Spawn movie, I mean, outside of a few highlights with John Leguizamo, was just it just wasn't what it was supposed to be. I mean,
yeah,
I sat there.
But
recently,
HBO
and,
Spawn. HBO
no,
Spawn.
No, that's
the
what
truth.
I'm about to say. I sat there and so I we saw the Spawn movie. My son saw it. It must have came on HBO or something. And so I sat there one day, and we was going through our thing. We just watched a bunch of throwbacks, and I was like, oh, we're going to watch Spawn. He was like, oh, that movie? And I was like, nah, I found the HBO joints. Now, the animation, it was done back in the 90s, so the animation was kind of not...
It was pretty damn good.
Animation now. But that's what I'm saying. I was trying to say, compared to its time, it was awesome because it was still good now. You know what I'm saying? As far as the animation, the technical parts of the animation, but the show was off the chain. We sat there and watched. We went through all four seasons in one sitting because it was like that. Even now, the storyline was still awesome. I'm like, if they could just channel a fraction of that into a movie, it'd be a great movie. Easily be a great movie. So if he really about that, I'm all about that. I will co-sign on that quick, fast, and in a hurry.
And just for those who don't know, the studios normally require 120 pages for these type of films. So the fact that he already did 132 should let you know that he's pretty much wrapping it up. So that's all I got for SIF News. I figured we'd end on a high note. Back to you, Bob Rob.
Amazing. I think we just made it through a SIF News segment without an Apple mention. I believe. I'm not sure, but
me to mention the Apple event tomorrow?
I right now I'm feeling very uncomfortable that you haven't. So if you could, it would really make me feel better. Could you please?
Apple is having an event tomorrow. Back to you, Bob Rob.
Are there any details about this event?
Well, but it's not going to be a big deal. I mean, it's. They're going to announce their 4-inch iPhone SE, which is the replacement for the 5S. But, you know, some are saying it's going to technically be a 4-inch iPhone 6S, so that could be cool. They're supposed to be announcing a smaller iPad Pro, which is going to basically be the size of the current iPad Air. But now it'll be like the Pro, so you'll have the smart connector and the pencil and stuff like that. And they may announce some watch stuff. Some are saying bands, some saying a new watch, and that's it. No one really knows what else they have at their sleeve, but those tend to be the three definite things we expect. I'm personally hoping they don't announce a new watch.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Though it's that time. It did come out a year ago. I was just hoping the watches would go on a 2-year cycle versus a 1-year cycle.
You know they're going to do the watch. And I was talking to somebody this weekend, and they, you know, it was mentioned that the watch is going to come out, and I know they bought the original watch, and I was curious. I was like, so are y'all planning on buying this new watch if it come out? And it was a mix. One guy's like, oh yeah, and I was like, nah, that's just stupid because you just bought this watch. Well, it'll have some new features, so I was like, yo, you probably dropped big amount of money on this, the first watch, and it's not a bad watch. I mean, you don't need a new iPhone watch. I was like, I have no intention of playing that game with a watch like people do with the phones, none whatsoever. So I'm going to be curious about how that all goes down, how many people actually flock to get the watches. I'm sure you'll get a lot of, because I know I wore my watch this weekend, and a couple people that didn't have watches wanted one. But other than that, if you already bought one, I think you just stand firm and just ride, mm-hmm. just ride the wave. I don't see the point.
I think it's going to depend for me because, you know, I bought the cheapest watch when it first came out because that's what Steve Wozniak said. Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple, he was like, his recommendation was to buy the cheapest watch they got because it's really a trial run. The rumor is they're going to make it thinner and they may add a FaceTime camera. I'm not about that FaceTime camera mess, but I like my watch as is currently. They'd have to do something really amazing to make me feel like I need a new watch. And I don't see what else you could do with this watch other than, you know, make it thinner, last longer, which it already lasts pretty long. And that FaceTime camera, which I don't care about. So I don't know. We'll see tomorrow.
Okay. Real quick from the chat. Thanks, everyone who's hanging in the chat. We got Bison for Life in the chat. Also, Sabretooth. Geekonius, one question from the chat was, Bison, you want on. Okay, hold on. I'll let you on a sec. Let me ask this question real quick. See, Saber was asking, will the PS4.5 be the same price as a regular PS4?
No one knows yet. There's not an official announcement. But if I were a betting man, I would probably say yes. And they'll drop the price of the current PlayStation 4. That's the only fair way to do it. I mean, to charge people more money for, video card upgrade and maybe mm-hmm. a little bit thinner would just be ridiculous. And I think they'd get a lot of backlash. But if they do, I would suggest, as we've already seen, to give it about 2 years for it to get manageable.
Right. All right. Bison, before y'all bring you on, hold on one sec. Let me bring this other caller on. Caller from the 304, you're on with the Black Geeks. You have a question or are you just listening in today?
Just listening in today from the hills of West Virginia.
Oh, you awesome. Made it back home safely. Ladies and gentlemen, that right there, that Shadow Scout from Geek's Old Brother.
Oh, good
What's
ear.
Going on, lady?
Good ear.
Good ear. Woo-hoo. All right, cool. Thanks for hanging out. Well, actually, hey. Oh, hold on. I'm going to leave your mic open for a minute because the next segment we're going to talk about the shindig that we had yesterday. So hold tight because I'll let you comment on that. But before that, let me bring Bison for Life on. Bison, you are on live, my man. How are you doing today, sir?
Hello, gentlemen and lady. I hope all is well.
All is well.
Good
all
evening.
Is right with the world.
Hey.
I'm speaking. It's great to speak to social media superstars because Big Baba Rob pulled it off yesterday. So I want to give kudos to the event. It was a joy to watch on Periscope. You guys did a fine job, and I'll stop now because I know you guys will talk more about it. But offline, I do want to just put this in before I go down the road. Is Thursday or Friday, y'all going to do Superman? Somebody DM me. I think I may want to try and join you guys if you all going as a group.
Okay.
Roger that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We'll do.
But I'm kind of shocked. I was I know how much Sith Lord just
here you go.
Just you know I'm going there.
Here
I go. And since Sal's got us on the line, I'm gonna curb my profanity, but an Apple event is tomorrow, and you know, Sith Lord seems kind of nonchalant. I'm sort of shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when an Apple product comes to his home, he licks the package, but now he just seems so. I mean, it's been taking him like 3 weeks to open up a phone that he got, you know, on his social media. So I'm really worried that this Afro event tomorrow will be sort of a letdown because Sith Lord is just such
you say,
a fan.
You say I'm lowering expectations.
Yeah. And, but in all seriousness, for the archives and for people who are listening, for the archives, what you gentlemen put together, and I know, you know, it was other parties, and I know logistics and all that, but I really want to give kudos, at least from someone who was watching the event. I was very proud of you guys. You know, it went from talking to talk to walking to walk, and hopefully networking was done, connections was made, and this won't be a one-and-done deal. So I just want to just sort of jump on and just say that, and I'll just shut up and let y'all let everyone speak on the event itself.
Thank you so much. So let me tell folks who, if you listen to the show on a regular, you know what Bison for Life is talking about. But for those who don't, let me break it down for you. Yesterday, the Black Geeks, the Black Tribbles, they were our local support group. We put on an event at Amalgam Comics and Coffee House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and basically it was called the Blackfinity Gauntlet. And what we did was we called together various podcasters from the area, everywhere from New York to Virginia. I also met one of my favorite followers on Twitter. Got a chance to meet her. She came all the way down from Connecticut. So it was just really great to meet folks. I gotta say, I had a great time. You know, it's great that Shadow Scout's on because she and I, you know, we had so much fun. Doggone Shadow Scout was stalking the event. 9 o'clock in the morning, she's over there peeping through the window. The thing doesn't start till noon. And she's such a freaking overachiever. She shows up at 9 o'clock in the morning, peeping in the window like, is anybody there? Anybody there?
Geeking ain't easy,
y'all. But let me tell you, the event was we had a number of podcasts come through. The event was, you know, about supporting Amalgam. You know, as Bison said, you know, we want to talk the talk, we want to walk the walk as well. It's not just lip service to talk about the blurred community and talking about supporting a blurred. It's really about doing that. And, you know, and to give credit where credit was due, really Bison and Geek Soul Brother planted this seed. You know, Soul Brother and I have been talking about unity in the geek community for a long time. Bison, we were on a show a while back, and this idea came from a conversation that we were having. So, I mean, you know, you never know. You know, people plant seeds as you go through life, and it's up to you what you do with it, whether you cultivate or water it, and it turns into something amazing. But we had a great panel discussion. We had a great after party later with the Black Girl Nerds and Graveyard Shift Sisters, you know, Ashley and Jamie. They hosted a really nice event for folks to kind of just chill out afterwards. The panel was phenomenal. So much great information. From the various folks that were on the panel. It was just great. But let me stop talking. I want to talk to the folks. Since Shadow Scout is on, Shadow Scout, how did you feel? What were you feeling about the event, the Blackfinity Gauntlet yesterday?
Oh, man. It's just what was a nice feeling. I mean, it was just so amazing how it all came together. I got to say, shout out to you, Big Baba Rob. I loved your facilitation of the panel because not only did you tap into the wisdom of the panel, but for me, one of the best moments was when you did the Who's in the Room opportunity. And so it was just great to hear all the different podcasts, what everybody was doing, different content, and make those connections. And, I mean, that is a rare opportunity. So I was grateful for that. And also just to catch up with everybody. I just love how genuine it was. Like, we just picked up without missing a beat. And it had that real family reunion feel to it. So, like I said, I'm still in recovery mode. It's like Miss Pac-Man mode, you know, they meet opportunity. So I'm still on cloud nine, but it was just great. And honestly, I'm calling this professional development, you know, because I think that panel, there was a lot of things. I took a lot of notes being new to the game. And, you know, I think it's just these opportunities that we can have to improve and to push thinking on what we're doing all the better. So this was great, and looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming all the way out from West Virginia. I cannot believe
Yay.
You rode your four-wheeler all the way to the train station.
That's
all right, inside
with
joke.
My passport.
It's a joke. Yeah, I want to get the Potbelly Samurai. He anchored the panel for us because I moderated, and Dark Euconius and King Pace were on technology. So to go to Potbelly, yo, what was your feeling? What was like one of the highlights for you from the Black Finney Gauntlet yesterday?
The highlight was really the event in itself, to like bring together so many brothers and sisters in the podcast community from up and down the East Coast to both support Amalgam Comics and really to share with the world what we're doing as Black podcasters, I think was an amazing thing. And I really have to give you, Big Baba Rob, like all the credit in the world, you know, AKA Voltron Tribble, for bringing us together, for putting this event together. I don't think people realize that, like, you know, you really spearheaded this movement that culminated with the Black Finney Gauntlet. So I think we owe you a great debt for being the catalyst to get us all together. And really, they had a lot of fun on Saturday. I think I got beat up a little bit by the women on stage, but other than that, I think I'm all right.
Yeah,
that's okay. Well, you know, and that's one thing that's great about it is that we can have these hard, you know, honest conversations. And, you know, maybe some of the things, you know, like you said, maybe you did get beat up, but, you know, the points were made were, you know, at least, you know, either on point or thought provoking. So you're right. But thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, I was telling Shadow Scout, what better way to basically brainwash everyone into my way of saving the world than to bring them all together at one place? So this is my master. You know, I'm feeling very Sithy right now. Get everyone together in the same place and feed them all the poison. You know,
gotta say, good.
Oh God, I'm a prentice and I don't know it. Yo, let me kick it over to King Face. He hung up with us as well at the event, man. You know, King Face, what were your thoughts of the event, and you know, what was a highlight for you?
Actually, for me, one of the highlights was before we even started the panel, the energy there with everybody being there while you was running around setting up. The energy was so hype. Like, I walked up in there and then jumped right into a conversation. I had literally been there for like less than 30 seconds. And we jumped into a hype little conversation, and I met a couple of people there within my first 2 minutes of just walking in. And it felt like, I felt like the first time I was actually allowed to have free reign in a hotel room when you were a child. You know, when you go out there for some event, like, you know, you ran track, you did a pin relays or something like that, and you're not there with your parents and you're just having fun with other kids from other schools and all that stuff, and you just having a good time. I felt like that. It was like a little kid just having fun with other kids in a hotel room without really any supervision, and we just having a blast. I mean, it was cool, like, meeting all the people, having these other discussions about different things, and everybody was kind of just relaxing. It wasn't like any nervousness or any uncomfortable situation. It was all like we was all just like we all known each other for a while, even though that was the first time I met dang near the entire room, you know. Yeah, and it's the funniest moment. I'm gonna put it out there now. The funniest moment. Unlike Potbelly, I never actually seen Geek Soberman before, face to face yet. You know, so we done on YouTube, so they saw our faces. So when he walks up, he goes, "Hey, Face," and I had that moment like, "Who is this?" I was like, "Hey, my dear brother." Then I looked at the tag. I was like, "Oh crap, it's Soul Brother." And I was like, "What's going on?" And we just started talking. I didn't know who he was at first. And I looked at my wife. I was like, "You know this dude? I don't know this dude." And then I heard the voice. And I was like, "Your voice sounds familiar, though." Then I looked at the tag and I was like, "Oh, it's Soul Brother. What's going on?" So that was cool, man. I mean, seeing everybody that you heard on podcast or whatever, and just being in that energy. The energy was so hype, and then obviously the panel was good too, but just the energy beforehand was awesome. I want to do something like that again, definitely.
Oh, yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned. There are going to be a lot of requests for us to rock this thing one more time. So, yeah, we're just stay tuned. We got some ideas, and we're going to see. I'm not making any promises, but yeah, I'm teasing it right now. Stay tuned. Make sure you people making our trip from West Virginia one more again. Yo, let me get Darth Geekonius, our CEO. Yo, Geekonius, you know, your perspective of the event. I have to tell you, one of the highlights, especially because I got a front row seat to the Twitter exchange between you and Black Girl Nerds during the whole Rick Shione, the two of you just started to talk. I was like, oh, you know, it's like that 3 o'clock school fight. You're like, oh, what's about to happen? You know, just did, but it was really cool. You know, just a moment. You know, the two of you together in a room, just two Twitter heavyweights. Yo, what were your, some of your impressions and takeaways from the Blackfinity Gauntlet?
Well, right out the gate, me and Jamie, you know, from Black Girl Nerds, those who don't know, we had our little Twitter thing about Rishone, and I'm gonna be honest, and people who know me know I still don't like it. But you know, when I started taking the earrings out and I grabbed some, you know, Vaseline for my face, and then I said, no, we don't have to scrap up here in Philly. That'd just be crazy. It's supposed to be about love. So we didn't talk about it much. We made peace. You know, we tied our colors together. But then next thing you know, there was going to be a fight about Supergirl and Arrow. And it was just like, you know what? I don't think we should be talking before the panel. Maybe we should just had sat there nice and quiet until Rob called all of us to sit down. But no, like King Face said, the energy before the event was just amazing. I could have did that all day and not even do the panel, you know, because we got so crazy. Excuse me. We got so crazy that Jamie was Periscoping and people were asking questions on Periscope because we was getting all in with Marvel and DC and these different shows. It was just an amazing event. And again, kudos to you, Rob, because a lot of people don't know what goes behind the scenes and logistics is a mess. And no one put Rob up to it. This was really like his thing. He's always been talking about support a blurred. And, you know, and it's all love. And like I tell people all the time, love is an action verb. You know, a lot of people like to think of it as a noun. But a lot of time, you know, you hear a lot of talk, but sometimes you got to see action. So Rob, you know, held it down, representing the entire Blurred community. This wasn't just about the Black Geeks or just about Big Baba Rob. So I'm proud of you. I enjoyed it. I brought some of my kids. They got to see what this was like. And as I was telling someone after the event, when I was coming up, it wasn't a cool thing to admit that you were a geek or a nerd. In fact, you repressed it and kept it to yourself. And now my kids are growing up in an era where, you know, geek is almost the end thing to be. And they get to experience these Black geeks come together. So I was really happy and really proud. I enjoyed the drive up and the Philly cheesesteak on the way out.
That's cool. Yeah. Just one last comment. I you know, everyone talked about the energy. I'm telling you, it was really a beautiful thing. It was a really special moment for me. I was riding back and talking with a good friend of mine on the phone, and I was saying how, you know, I felt so alive
And I literally just felt so much more alive, you know, connecting with my people, you know, just, because, you know, you get up and go to work every day, but sometimes, you know, work is just work. It just pays the bills. But, you know, digging in, doing this kind of community work, connecting people. I'm going to tell you one of the amazing things that we didn't talk about at the event is that people made connections. People were able to get their podcast out there, get their whatever they were doing out there, whether it's podcasts or their business, or, you know, sometimes their podcast is their business. But connections were made. Business cards were exchanged. People got tips on, you know, on their podcast, on what they can do better. You know, and out of this, I mean, I'm going to tell you, you know, the Black Geeks, you know, it's something that we're passionate about, something I'm passionate about. And, you know, we're attacking this issue of not only unity, but exposure and how do people get seen and get noticed. But it was the energy in the room. It really did feel like family. People came together. There weren't any beefs. It wasn't me, mine, and I. I mean, it really was about the blurred community for that, those few hours, you know, out of the year. And it was just a really, really powerful moment. I have so many incredible memories just out of those few hours and really just out of the day, really, that I'm just, it's something I will never forget. And no, this will not just be a one and done. We definitely want to do something else like this, similar to it. So. But thanks to everyone for their support, to all my geek brothers who, when I started on the path and I called the Black Tribble and said, hey, can we get a spot at Amalgam? And I gave them some dates. And so I set the dates up, I confirmed them, and then I told the geeks, I'm like, guys, we're gonna do this little event. and they didn't say hell no. You know, they were very supportive of it, you know, and say, yeah, go for it, make it happen. And, you know, they supported me in this as well. So I'm really appreciative to all support, you know, from the tech level, from the marketing, advertising. I just really appreciate the support that my geek brothers gave me and the geek sister in Dark Phoenix as well. They was all supportive. So, but if you anybody who's listening, if you're listening, hey, St. Clinton, I see you jumped on a call on the show. Thank you, man. I'm glad you joined us. Anybody who wants any more information about it, you can reach out to the Black Geeks on Twitter. You can also go to our website, theblackgeeks.com. You can contact me or Geekonius or any of the Black Geeks directly. We're all on Twitter. I'm Big Baba Rob, Dark Geekonius, the Potbelly Samurai, and K-Face, P-H-A-Y-C-E. You can always reach out to any of us. And make sure you go to theblackgeeks.com this week, because we're going to be posting a list of all the different podcasts that were there. So we'll definitely want to do that. But I need to get moving on to the next segment, because we got a couple more things that we need to cover today. First of all, let's talk about Daredevil. Bison and Shadow, I'm leaving your mics open, so if you want to jump in, you're welcome to. Let's talk about Daredevil. Potbelly Samurai, is Daredevil Season 2 delivering?
Suck it now. Yes, sir. It is. I'm up to episode 9, so I need to knock down 9 through 13. And by all measures, season 2 is just as good, if not better, than season 1. And season 1 of Daredevil set the standard for what a TV adaptation and representation of a comic book should be. So if y'all ain't up on it, y'all need to get up on it like right now, because I am so enjoying this. I mean, they have done so much with the story. I mean, they brought Punisher in from episode 1. Like, they didn't wait. They started out on fire. You get Elektra coming in almost immediately. Like, you don't get halfway through the season and then Elektra shows up. She comes in early. And then you get halfway through the season and you get the big surprise. And I'm not going to say what the big surprise is. I'm just going to say that season 1 has come to visit season 2. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh,
you know, I honestly thought, because not everyone had finished it, there's still a lot of the geek and blurred community out there who have not seen it all yet, I thought we were just going to get first impressions and stuff like that.
I know what you're about to say, Econis. I know what you're about to say, but I'm going to give
I didn't drop any spoilers,
back,
though.
Hold on. No, gotcha. Hold on. Let me do this. I'm going to back Bob Bentley on this one. He didn't give you any real spoilers. If you watch any previews whatsoever, everyone he mentioned was already shown. When you saw the preview,
if you look at the poster,
you already know Elektra's in there at some point. You already know Punisher's in there at some point, and he didn't say anything that you didn't already know. So I will back him on that. Other than that joint, I'm not as far as I've been. I'm on episode 5, but trust me, I will binge that within the next 24 hours. So I've already established that's going to happen. But it was such a busy weekend. I didn't get to – I wanted to just binge only that, but, you know, my kids right now, they just got introduced to The Last Airbender, and I had to watch that with them even though I've seen it already. And so I promised them we will watch that. So they're on season 3 of The Bender. So we was watching that, and I'm sitting there the whole time like, I should just watch Daredevil on my own, but I didn't want to do it. So, but that joint, the Daredevil is fire. He didn't really spoil it. Truth be told, he ain't spoiled it like I would have spoiled it because I really want to spoil it. But I'm not going to say that. I think it is as good as the first season. And I'm on a pass judgment of whether or not it's better or worse based on how from start to finish. Because I didn't really make too much of Daredevil. I mean, it was a good show, but I didn't really go all in as far as how great it was until I was done. So I'm going to do the same thing for this one.
Wow. I'm going to tell you, I've only gotten a couple episodes in, but I can tell you it is not disappointed. One thing I did note, just kind of on an artistic level, I don't know, it's something about the storytelling or the way they're doing it, the way they're shooting it, but I feel a little bit of a consistency between the Jessica Jones and Daredevil in terms of the feel of it. It just feels so raw.
Yeah, they got the same look and feel.
Yeah, same look and feel. I mean, and it's just so raw, and it's just, I mean, and the writing, I really love the way that they write Foggy. I mean, there's a moment in episode 2 in a police station. Again, I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to mess with it. Just that moment that he has there and the lines that he throws out there, I really like the writing is really good. It's really solid, and you still have that same feel of reality that you did in season 1. So I definitely I'm definitely not disappointed so far. I'll definitely be clearing a couple more episodes tonight while I get some division in too. So, yeah. Anybody else want to comment on Daredevil before we move on to the next segment? Keconius or Shadow Scout? Bison? Go ahead.
I'm on episode 5 myself, and just based on what I've seen so far, and I was even listening to other podcasts, like I listened to Afro Nerd earlier, and I could kind of agree with what their assessment was based on just what I'm seeing, that, you know, Daredevil raised the bar for what we should expect out of this genre on television. Arguably, Jessica Jones took it a little bit higher, and Daredevil season 2 has now raised the bar yet again. And personally, I think all the pressure now is on Luke Cage because just out the 4 episodes I've completed, I just don't know if it can get any better than this. And I still, like I said, I've only seen 4 episodes, and I'm already convinced that I don't know if you could make a superhero TV show better than this at this point. You know, so this has just been a great experience for me so far. I'm loving it.
Awesome. I have high hopes for Luke Cage as well, but I really think that they've got something good, and it's really, really working, and I think that this is going to be amazing season.
I'm
definitely
like
looking
it.
Forward to getting the proof. You didn't? You really didn't like it, Bison?
I thought it was bullshit.
All right, what?
see how I just changed the dynamic?
Please explain why you're so angry.
Real quickly. No, I'm just joking. I thought it was. I only seen five. I just wanted to break this love fest, you know, for a Daredevil show. I mean, you know, I did Marvel send you guys a check? I just want to know.
Not yet.
But I enjoy it. There's a couple of nitpicky things. There's a couple of nitpicky things I can get into, but I'm going to wait because I've only gotten to five. And I'll just say this. I love the Punisher as a character. But
dude, one of my favorites, and they went hard with Punisher, right?
And, you know, some of us got military backgrounds, so you know we were freaking out over the hardware. But let me ask you guys this, and, you know, not to belabor this. Is the Punisher in today's society, is that sort of something that should have kind of remained in the past in regards to just wanton violence with shooting? And like I said, that's a different discussion. But I'm a fan of the character, but
we've had this conversation before. We didn't go all into it, but it was kind of mentioned before. It wasn't phrased like that, but I'm on the fence. Like I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I kind of want to go that route of, you know, I don't think you know you should just go out and say, oh, well, there's a couple people that would just want a copycat, because then you wouldn't do anything. You know, you wouldn't do anything. You could never do anything. Someone would always find a reason. I mean, you could say the one dude took Batman and said, well, I was inspired by Batman. That's why I went and did all this crazy stuff. I mean, it could happen. It's going to happen. People are going to do what they're going to do. So, on one sense, I feel like, look, the character is realistic. I mean, people feel that way. I could see a situation probably where everybody would have a moment where they want to just say rage against the machine and just do what they're going to do, and just the consequences be damned. So it's not like it's not something that's been thought of. So I don't think I'm not really going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of don't know what to say about that one, too, because it's like, you know, it's like, you know, life imitating art kind of situation, or art imitating life, and, you know, given that everything that's going on, I don't know, like, I guess, you know, as a society, you know, we kind of have to be in a position where we can separate the two and really put it out there, like, you know, this is entertainment. And this has its space, and this is reality, and this also has its space. So I'm cool with it. I'm actually real cool with it because I like these kind of shows. I like this kind of entertainment. But at the same time, like, I'm looking at anybody who takes this too seriously or takes this the wrong way, like it's, you know, something wrong with them.
So
I didn't want to be a Debbie Downer on that, and, you know, and forgive me if it's, you know, to listeners that I did that, but especially us in the DMV, look what we've gone through in the last couple of days, and, you know, you can research that. And listen, I am a fan of The Punisher, and I literally have everything that was printed about it, but let's keep it real. He's a psychopath, and now, in this society, is it irresponsible to let loose something like this? You know, hopefully this never happens. But I mean, I look at what happened in Pittsburgh, you know, about a week and a half ago. You know, six black people just shot down in a backyard barbecue. So how do you separate art from reality when it comes to gun violence, when it's portrayed in the movies like that?
You know, here's my take. I've personally never really been a fan of that argument about people going to copy what they see on TV. I mean, there's merit to it when you get into the academics of it, you know, psychology, sociology. but there just isn't enough evidence to, like, firmly connect it. I remember when Mortal Kombat first came out, Grand Theft Auto. You know, every time something violent, you know, comes out, people are wondering if life is going to imitate art. I think the good thing that they're doing, and I think the reason why these Netflix Marvel MCU shows work so well, is because they make the fantastic seem real. And there's real consequence to the actions. There's, you know, Daredevil isn't just walking around beating people up with impunity. There's a toll. He gets beat up. He's out of commission. He can't do his job. And they've done the same thing thus far from what I've seen of the show so far with The Punisher. There was definitely consequences, and they set up the idea of, you know, the difference between an out-and-out vigilante who's trying to do good and someone who's just a sociopath killing people. And I think because they set the argument up, they're playing on deeper themes. And let's just be honest. I mean, they have these things rated for a reason. And if people feel uncomfortable with it, then they shouldn't watch it. And I know that's easy to say, but that's actually the truth. We don't have a lot of accountability in our society as well. You know, we got to be, you know, and I guess if you're old enough to watch it and you're crazy and you're going to shoot it up, you probably were going to do something like that sooner or later anyway. So I don't really, I just really have a hard time with that. I think they've done it in a responsible way, the best they could. It's gritty. It's real. That's what this show is. And they temper it by ensuring they put the moral arguments on there. It's almost like the whole Batman, you know, thing and Superman thing. You know, they put those arguments out there that, look, doing this stuff with impunity has consequences. So that's just my two cents on it. I do think it's an interesting discussion either way, though.
Yeah, definitely a good conversation worth having, and it's very timely considering the state of affairs. So good question. I think let's get through the rest of this season. I mean, through season two, and let's have a deeper discussion about it on another show. I think that once everyone gives a chance to get through it, maybe like 2 weeks, and we can really delve into it, and we can bring this back up again, and hit it a little bit harder. Geekonius, would you care to give us a go ahead?
Big Bob and Rob news didn't get to happen this week, so I'll give you your one news, your news item.
Okay. Well, let me cover the printed topics before I even talk about this one, because this is ugly. So, Geekonius, where are we with The Walking Dead? Did your predictions of multiple characters leaving the show come to? Can we spoil it? Is that even fair to do at this point? I mean, because, like,
look, we're on the East Coast. I know it kind of sucks that people look. When I was in Hawaii a few weeks ago, and The Walking Dead came on, I had no sense of time zone. I was just completely off because it was a 5-hour time difference. I just stayed off Twitter. I just did not. I didn't do anything on social media until I saw it. Because I knew what was going to go down. 5 hours, I was going to get it from every coast. So I just was like, look, I'm going to wait till I see it and then watch it. So I don't know. We don't have any hard, fast rules, but I think we should tell it. I think I'm going to tell it. Or I'll do like they do on Talking Dead. Look, we're about to spoil some stuff. If you don't want to hear it, I suggest you put this on mute for at least the next 5-10 minutes.
Really? You going to be that long? Good Lord.
Okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, top.
All right, five minutes. Go.
All right, so they're nearing the end of the season. The last 3 episodes are left. It's been revealed that the final show is going to be 90 minutes, of course. And that's when the big bad is supposed to happen. But tonight's show, I've said they were going to start thinning the herd. I think there's at least 3 to 4 characters, main characters, that's going to bite the bullet before the, up into the finale. And they took out one today. There's a famous scene in the comic book You know, there's some build up with Alexandria crew and the Saviors, and Abraham takes an arrow to the eye from a crossbow. Well, Ooh. like they want to do on the show, they often change. They follow the comics for the most part when it comes to who dies, but the circumstances they change up a little bit, and they often change the characters. And they did that tonight. It was not Abraham who took the arrow to the eye. It was, in fact, Denise who took the arrow to the eye. For those who don't know who Denise is, she's the kind, portly doctor who helped save Carl after he got shot in the eye. So that's one down. So she's now dead. They also showed Dwight returned with half of his face burnt. So for those of you from the comics, you know that something happened to Dwight, and so he's permanently scarred on the side of his face. I won't spoil that in the hopes that they'll actually show that, because that would suck if they show that on TV. My skin crawling thinking about it. And there also was some teasing and foreshadowing to what's going to happen. You know, they did some stuff with Eugene found a Smith shop and said he wanted to make bullets. So for those who are current on the comics, know that there's a certain point where they're now making their own bullets. There isn't a lot of foreshadowing. It was, you know, they made up some stuff, obviously. Rosita, she had a hookup in the bedroom since her and Abraham broke up. And toward the end of the episode, Abraham and Sasha hooked up. So for those in the comics, there was a love triangle thing going on. And it looks like, you know, because they did the whole Rick and Michonne thing, she's taking on some aspects of Andrea's character in the comic. So Sasha's also taking some of Andrea's aspects. But they gave Sasha another character, because in the comic book, Abraham hooks up with a woman named Holly. So they're replacing her with Sasha. So that's pretty much it. Not a lot of surprises. I expected to get bloody with each episode. And I'm expecting maybe two next episode are going to bite the bullet. And we're still waiting to see who's going to get the red wedding treatment on the final episode. There will be blood and lots of blood. And the stars of the show have all put out various statements that when they read the script, their mouth was wide open. So it looks like they're not going to pull any punches on the season finale, which makes me very happy. But that's it. That's all I got.
Oh, that's all. Well, see, I like it. That was a really great review, and thank you. We're looking forward. I'm still curious to see if things happen the way you expect them to do. So I'm hanging on every week for these updates. Last topic for the day. Who knows what else is going to come up. It is that week, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the second major comic book movie of 2016. We've got so many, many, many more to come. But the movie that is a misnomer to the actual event that's going to happen, because we know that both of them survive at the end, but for some reason we're having a movie called Batman versus Superman, because, yes, they're going to do battle.
It is Batman versus Superman. It's the Justice League pre-movie.
Right. It's the I don't think that
it's the Justice League warm up
would go over well on a poster. but it is.
That's
the
why they call it Dawn of Justice, trying to be cute.
Right. So they first started out, and it's so funny because, you know, us geeks, we kind of knew when you talk about Batman versus Superman, like, come on, you ain't really gonna kill either one of them. So just stop playing number one, and then they come out with, oh, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Because you knew if you put Dawn of Justice, it wasn't going to get nearly as much hype. So we see you, Hollywood. We know what you're doing. But
they
still,
really had no choice. Wait, come on
did.
Now.
We
said this, what, a year, maybe 2 years ago. And I had been saying all along it's a Justice League movie. But really, what would they do for 2 hours of Batman vs. Superman? If they really did Batman vs. Superman, what would you do for 2 hours?
Right.
And they don't have time to catch up with the Avengers. So
right.
Marvel had been plotting that for years. So they really just got to jump right into it. So they're going to give us some lip service for like 30 minutes, and then it's going to be the Justice League. Watch what I tell you.
Right.
Sorry. So I'm gonna start with King Face on this, because Face, this movie is, I think, like 2 hours, 23 minutes. It's two hours 20, something like that. You know, it's interesting because I'm starting to see that there's going to be an okie doke here, because, yeah, they keep talking about Batman, Superman, but they have to really set up the Justice League. So we know Wonder Woman's in it. I think we also should be expecting what it's like Cyborg and Aquaman. And maybe
no, they're not doing Cyborg.
Excuse me. I was talking to King Face. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure, because there's only one King Face here, His Royal Highness.
Thank you.
You know, I'm not going to take with so much trash talk. I will mute lines around this piece, even for the host. I'm just putting it out there. Back to you, Bob Rob.
That is the first time in 3 years that he's muted me. That's the first time in all these years that I've been muted. But I am so glad I had a little bit of intro music to come back to. But anyway, as I was saying to King Face, should we expect the okie doke in this movie? And we should we see more of the Justice League and less of Superman and Batman?
Yeah, you're going to see. It's going to be an okie doke. I think obviously there's going to be some scenes where they make them go at it a little bit. But it's the Justice League, like, that's what this is. The Justice League, like, movie to get everything started. You know, like Iconia said when he interrupted everyone, it's not going to be, you're not going to go all in. You're probably going to get some light, you know, reveals to certain characters, and then probably some more down the line, because they didn't really take the time to flesh out all these characters. So some of these characters you're seeing for the first time cinematically in the way they're trying to do everything and put everything together. So it's the Justice League. You know what this is? I mean, this ain't Batman vs. Superman. Not that that makes any real sense, but still, we don't want to do that. Let's not have that conversation. So, you know, it's the Justice League. They're using this as a gauge to get everything started and then go from there. You got Wonder Woman. You're going to have Aquaman. How they do Cyborg, whether they go all Cyborg or just do the makings of him, you'll probably know who he is when they say the name, and then they'll go from there. So, We'll wait and see
Face, what is I have a good question about that. I do not know what is Cyborg's real name? What is his name before he became Cyborg?
Vic Stone.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just thought I asked. Okay. So there you go, folks. For those who don't know, the name that you're looking out for is Vic Stone. There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that. Potbelly, I know that you're going to see it. Are you looking forward? Do you have any, going into this movie, do you have any preconceptions? Are you going to this movie with, like, anything that you're expecting?
No, I've learned my lesson from past movie experiences to not go in with preconceptions, because that's a surefire way not to actually enjoy the movie. So I'm going in with no preconceptions. I was one of the first people to say when this joint first came out that this is like a Justice League movie. So I'm just going in, you know, kind of clean slate and going in to enjoy the movie. That's it. I will give my review after I watch it.
Yo, we all will give our review after we watch it. Shadow, will you be doing your Five Nerdy Venom duty? And will you be going to see Dawn of Justice or Batman in the Sandbox with Superman building sandcastles? Will you be going to do your duty this week, or will you be going next week?
Yeah, I'm going on Saturday, actually. So okay. I'm only seeing this for Wonder Woman and Aquaman. I'm just being real about this, you know.
Really?
If it's going to be a dude bro fight, do I have to sit through 2 hours of that?
Yep.
That's going to be tough.
It's not going to It can't be two. Okay, wait. Let's be realistic. It's not going to be 2 hours of bro fighting. Okay, they're going to set the, because we've all seen the trailers. They're going out to dinner. They meet the Wonder Woman with the little earring thing. And then Lex comes. I still don't know what Lex is going to do all this. When does all of Lex's hair fall out? I mean, you know, so, you know, we don't know. And then they have to set up the whole Dawn of Justice piece. So, it can't possibly be. The budget's just not big enough for 2 hours of the total fight. And like King Faye said, that would be stupid. A Superman-Batman fight should really be over in about 17 or 18 seconds. It really, really should.
Are you giving it that much time?
Yeah, I'm giving it. Here's why. Because Superman's going to stop and listen to whatever the hell Batman's going to say. Because that's how dumb Superman is. He's going to stop and listen because Batman would try to say, but here, I need to tell you, you really shouldn't do this because. And then he's going to punch him in the face and then it's over. But no, think about it. This is Superman. Am I wrong, Face? Isn't that what Superman would do? Wouldn't he stop and listen first and then smash him?
Yeah. Because he's soft like that.
That's exactly what Superman's going to do. Because he's a goody-goody. So there you go. You will not be 2 hours of bro fighting. There's going to be some bro fighting. There's going to be some Wonder Womaning. There's going to be some man swimming. There's going to be the Metal Man. It's just going to be a very elaborate Wizard of Oz. And it's going to be really, really great. You'll be fine. Last but not least, Dark Iconius. I know that there will not be any lightsabers in this movie, so I know it's really subpar for you. But is there anything? Are you looking forward to this movie, or you know, are you hanging any hopes on this movie at all?
No, but way more than I am.
And all around the world.
Got me. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, the my big.
No chance,
cause
that's what you got.
Yeah, cut it out. Grown children.
It's just the geek in me, y'all. Oh, look, he said grown children. As soon as I finish this show, I'm going to play a video game. So anyway.
Anyway.
Keep it real. Go ahead, Cody.
I have more hopes pinned on this than I do X-Men. Which I think is going to be the last place of this season. I don't know. I'll see. I mean, I'll see it tomorrow. I'll be pleasantly surprised. Hopefully, I really have no emotion one way or the other. I'm just going to go in there tomorrow and hopefully it'll be good. I'll let y'all know if it's whatever. I really don't know what to think.
So make sure folks who are following, if you're listening to the show, what night are we going? Saturday or Friday? Saturday?
Saturday.
I think it was Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah.
So, you know, so make sure that everybody who's listening, if you are not following us on Periscope, follow the Black Geeks on Periscope. On Periscope, also follow us on Twitter so that you get the notification on Twitter and on Periscope, because our on-the-spot reviews get really hype and really interesting. They're also deep, and we could actually do reviews without really terribly spoiling the movie. We've done a couple of really good ones.
Don't follow Darth Iconius tomorrow, then.
Yeah, just don't follow Darth Iconius because there's no telling. It's no telling.
I'm spoiling it all tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Like, I'm following you, Dark Iconius.
You would, Shadow. You would.
I need to know the future.
Oh, fine. Well, see, that, you know, that typical nerdy Venom, typical, you know. You know, yeah, how can you,
spoilers.
I don't think you can be nerdy Venom without liking spoilers, right? Spoilers, baby, spoilers.
We're just rotten like that.
Yep, y'all roll. We got just a couple minutes before the live show ends. I want to throw out this last little piece of breaking news. And I'm
After
breaking
you do
this,
that, can I do one?
Sure you can. So really quick, okay. Breaking news from gaming and tech industry. Microsoft hires GoGo dancers at Xbox Party and they say they were wrong. Okay, so it gets even more
Abigail Clark.
An Xbox spokesman declined to answer questions about dancers who were wore abbreviated schoolgirls outfits as they reportedly greeted partygoers and dancers on platforms. The party
I don't understand why this is a problem.
This is a here, allow me to tell you. Well, excuse me, to use one of Geekonius's favorite statements, but wait, there's more. Several people who attended the after-hours party complained on social media that they were offended and disappointed at seeing the go-go dancers. Here's the irony. Some also noted the irony just hours earlier. Hours earlier, I say, Microsoft had sponsored a Women in Gaming luncheon to promote diversity in the industry. Again, and the reason, my dear Potbelly brother, why this is an issue is because the amount of misogyny and the completely reverse lack of women in gaming and the creation of games has been a problem just as much as the lack of racial diversity. And so the issue is, and we've seen it, come on, I think all of us have either seen or played Street Fighter. I mean, the amount of detail they put into the sexuality of some of the imagery is just
all
a bit
right.
over.
No,
hold on.
So,
you gotta pick the wrong game. Street Fighter really was never that deep. Now, if you're talking about something like, I don't know, and Pop Billy probably knows, let's say Dead or Alive.
I was about to say Dead or Alive.
More sense.
They made
because
a whole
Street
volleyball
was just
game
what
for
it
that.
Was. They made a whole volleyball game, and you already knew what that was all about. They had nothing to do with what each player could do. That is where you go, That is the epitome. I mean, everything else, nitpicky. That one, that was very blatant.
All right, Rob, can I do my quick news item that I just picked up?
All right, yes, that was my quick news, and, you know, that's something we could talk about later, too. Go ahead, Dr. Tony.
So for those of you who were paying attention tonight, Tyler Perry did a live musical called The Passion. And apparently it was a hot mess. And not only was it a hot mess, there's some controversy, or at least I'm calling it controversy because I was upset about it. We all know what color Jesus was not. But since we're going there, guess what color Pontius Pilate was?
No. What color?
The color Jesus wasn't. That was it. I just had to share that because somebody actually blasted it on Mashable, putting the 36 things that actually happened. And they just went in point by point, 1 through 36, about how much of a hot mess this was. Let me just say Jesus kind of looked like Vanilla Ice from a crazy angle. Just saying.
Wait. And was this a Tyler Perry production?
Yup.
Well, I've been boycotting Tyler Perry for the last 10 years anyway, so it really makes no difference to me at all. But that's
number one in this article was Tyler Perry began the night by giving a little background about the special's most important figure, Tyler Perry. It just destroys it point by point from there on. I really suggest y'all read this article. But that was it. I just had to share that because I was cracking up laughing like, wow.
All right, so I got 90 seconds left. Real quick, Shadow Scout, thanks so much for joining us. They can catch you on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Geek Soul Brother Show on Talk Show. Yes.
Please do. And also Comic Gamani, a couple of Thursdays, April 14th will be our next show. So look for that.
Cool. All right, folks, make sure that you got to go to the website. There are giveaways coming up, people. There are giveaways.
Congrats to our recent winner.
Yes, congrats to our recent winner. And what did the recent winner win?
She won a GameStop Funko mystery box. So it's going to have, like, Funko figures and all kinds of other toys and goodies in there.
Cool. Big time thanks to everyone who is in the chat room. Bison for Life, Sabretooth, St. Clinton, anybody else that's listened to us live. Thanks for calling in, Shadow. Had a great time with you. Everyone who came to the Blackfinity Conference, supported the Black Geeks, supported Amalgam Comics. Thank you to my geek brothers and my geek sisters. Thanks so much for the support. Folks, we will be back next week because we are the Black Geeks, and we just love y'all just that much. We will see y'all next week. Superman, Batman, bye.